This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day every day at 2 o'clock. We talk about the biggest stories in the world of sports that have been evolving. And that's where we open up today's show here back in the world of NASCAR as Ryan Newman's okay. There he is. He's taking pictures with his kids. He's walking out of the hospital. And Roush Fenway Racing said the 42-year-old driver has been released hours after tweeting that Newman continues to show great improvement. When I heard that earlier, I said, well, what does that mean? You know, we still haven't seen him standing or, you know, being able to move. We know that he's alert.
Handsprings out of the hospital.
Yeah. Does he even have a concussion? There he is. Did he drive himself home?
Yeah, probably.
Well, can we get a little volume over here, Lucius, on Brian's mic? I mean, salute to the Hans device. Salute to the engineers at NASCAR for being amazing people and building this car. And I guess Ryan Newman was maybe personally responsible for saving his own life with some engineering.
Yeah, he was. And he was 10 years ago. He came up with they're so worried about the actual cockpit of the car that they don't want to have a lot of things involved because they're worried about driver safety of getting out in case something happens. So Newman said, no, wait a minute. We need to make this roll cage stuff stronger. Came up with a bar right across the top of the roll cage, right above the windshield, that actually saved his life. So, cool. Yeah, he came up with that technology. We talked about him being an engineer from Purdue, kind of understands how to build things. Came up with that bar, and then good things for him.
Well, right on. So a good conclusion to the end of that story there. Ryan Newman is A-OK. Another sports safety story. Amari Cooper is A-OK as well. Some strange rumor got started on Twitter and that he had been shot in the leg in a parking garage. Don't even know how that surfaced. But if you'd heard that earlier and then you'd been in and out of the car, hadn't been able to check your phone or whatever, that was debunked by DPD earlier today.
And by Amari Cooper.
Yeah, that's right.
He was like, yeah, that didn't happen. Fake news. So
I saw that he texted Dez.
I see all these stories that are like the viral tweet about Amari Cooper getting shot or false. And I'm like, how come I keep seeing all the stories, but I never saw this viral tweet?
I never saw the original one either. I never heard about it until getting the denial.
Yeah, that's all I've
seen. Yeah, I reached out to people. The cowboys are like, what are you talking about? Kind of a thing. So, yeah, a lot of people not hearing it.
Right on. Okay. Elsewhere in the world of sports, things developing at this hour pretty quick today. Things really picked up this afternoon. And Washington tight end Jordan Reed cleared from concussion protocol finally, clearing the way for his eventual release. So another big decision in division for that team. And a player who was really on his way to being one of the best tight end weapons in the entire NFL and was trending towards making huge money. He did get a big contract, so I guess at least that's the good news. But I can imagine very disappointing for him and the organization that he was unable to stay available more often. I mean, he was kind of a Cowboy killer, but it seemed like every time he was crushing the Cowboys, he'd get hurt in the second half.
Oh, you're absolutely right, General, though. He was one of those guys that when you study the tape about him, downfield player, able to make mismatch guy, makes all kinds of circus catches, though. Big time tight end. Not a blocker, but a big time catcher.
Yeah. So I guess kind of good news for the Cowboys not having to worry about him for a little bit.
I would be really worried about signing him, too.
Yeah.
He had a concussion in preseason week 3 and never touched the field. He was in concussion protocol until today. From a preseason concussion.
That's hockey player type stuff.
Yeah, he took a lot of big hits, though. You know, the quarterback play, not always great for him going across the middle, him getting hung out to dry on some passes. Yeah. He took a lot of big hits.
Well, yeah, so for him, I wouldn't want to continue the career after that. I mean, a long extended stretch, you know, especially with the injury history. If money's not a factor, which it's not, you know, I could easily see it. Some guys just love the game so much they're willing to risk it.
Well, players are smarter today.
Are they?
They really are. And we're starting to see some guys, about Luke Kuechly retiring early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these players, and these players also donating their brains to science, you know, once they pass away, I think is a great thing that we can learn more about these concussion symptoms.
Okay, G-Bag Nation, hope you are having an outstanding day. It's gray and overcast here. It's an interesting weather pattern continues. The temperature's going up. It's down. It's left. It's right. It's 80. It's raining.
I don't appreciate it either. I want you to know that.
Had a great birthday night last night. I got out of here and went out and watched senior night at Rowlett High School. They were taking on North Garland.
Boy, Abby grew up fast.
Yeah, no. Buddy had a kid on the team. It was senior night. They got the victory. They pulled away in the second half, so that was fun. It's been a long, long time since I've been to a high school basketball game, and wow, very impressed with the caliber of athlete that's going out there in you know this part of the country and putting on. It was a high level of entertainment and basketball.
Yeah, as much as you know about basketball, I was going to ask you about the type of athlete. Oh. You see, you know, you watch the pro ranks, the collegiate ranks, but then you go out and you get a little high school basketball.
Yeah,
the athletes and the
we got a lot of good players,
rangy, long type of players. Yeah, a lot of fun to go watch those games.
Yeah, there was a guy, and I'm sorry, I forget his name, but he had like 90 blocks on the year. He's like 6'10", and just looked like he'd been in the weight room, and was an incredible athlete. He was going D1. Another guy was going D1, and then the kid that I was there to see is going D2. So there was a lot of great basketball. And salute to those guys for putting on a good show for me on my birthday. Okay, what would be even more exciting than that is if the Texas Rangers could get Nolan Arenado over here. And as the Rockies are getting set to embark on their season, Arenado has arrived and he's talking about it. And for now, I think we just put the optimism away and wait for this storyline to develop and hopefully fester. Because right now he's saying, I have to be optimistic. I'm not going to be moping around. He's being a pro. This is actually what we want to see from a guy that you want to trade for, not a guy that's going to go in being like, they won't trade me, double barrels to the world in spring training, right? He's going to be a pro here. He says, it doesn't bring out the best of me or these guys to be moping around. I don't want to be a bad leader. I don't want to complain anymore. It would be counterproductive. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I mean, he's one of those guys right there. If the Rangers could get him, it would totally change how we'd view what this baseball team's capable of.
He's probably doing the right thing, because if you want to get traded, the worst thing you could probably do is consistently attack the team. Because then the people who are calling are like, hey, I know you have to get rid of that cancer. So how low is that price? What are we talking about here? Whereas if he's like, well, I'm here and we're going to play and we're going to see what happens, then because you just, if you actually want to be traded, and he does want to be traded, because he was also talking about how, like, I want to win. So we're going to try to win.
And they've said, I guess, no, we're going to try to win, but he's not believing him, right?
That's
the basic.
Yeah, he said, if we're not going to win, I'd rather play for a winner. I don't care where it is. I'd rather win a World Series than have my number retired.
And as an organization, I'd be pretty annoyed. Like, dude, we just gave you $200 million. If you had a chance to go, but you're like, no, I want to be with you. So give us time to cook. Don't be jumping me now. Trust me, we're trying to win the World Series. I'm not going to go out and spend bad money because you just signed the $200 million contract and you want to win now. We'll wait until the opportunities present themselves.
It's really unfortunate for the front office to have to go through that. But the best thing they can do here is have daily communication with him about the situation. Okay. Don't let this fester. Don't let things happen in the media. Don't let beat writers to kind of draw you off sides. Be an organization that says, listen, this is what we're trying to do for you here. Work with us this way and we'll see if we can get some things done. But they have a right to complain about. You're right. You signed the contract, go play baseball.
Yeah, I think if you do want the flexibility to go pick your team, then you are trading away the security that we can get you right now. Your contract's not up. You want to know you're rock solid for the generational wealth in your family. We can do that. But you're not going to be able to pick the team that you want or dictate what we're doing.
How would he view it if they came to him and said, all right, we know you're unhappy. Thanks for not blasting us constantly. We've got a trade partner lined up. The team that'll give us the most is the Texas Rangers. What goes through his head? Because he's talking about, I want to win.
Yeah.
If he were coming to the Texas Rangers, does he think that that's happening? Or would he be like, just keep me, whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. Would you have faith as a free agent? Does being in state kind of, does that satiate him a little bit? I don't know, man. I would like to believe that the Rangers were an organization that players would be excited to join, but it's been a long time since 2011.
Yeah, it has been a long time, though. But yeah, I like I said, I think communication is the most important thing. I mean, he has to realize that he is not going to get the team that he wants. You could talk about winning and all those things, but they're going to make the best deal they have to, the Rockies. Yeah. It's hey, yeah, I'll work with you, but here are the teams. They could also paint a very ugly picture for him, too, with communication.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's so important, isn't it? It's amazing how it always comes back to that. That is how we communicate. That's how we set our culture with our language.
Players always want to be in the know. And that's why I always felt like it was important when you cut a player to be honest with them. Don't just say, hey, you know, well, we're going to go another direction. Be honest with the player and tell him why you're moving on from him.
Okay, early in spring training, Nick Solak at center field is what we'd been wondering about, and it is happening. Do you think a guy can make that work? I don't know. I think if he had the ability to play that position at a high level, he would have been playing it already up through his career. So now at this point, you're like, okay, maybe not an ideal fit, but can you? I mean, it's just it's a harder job that I don't think many players have the natural skill set for. You know, I'll make fun of being a corner outfielder. You don't have to be that. Just see the ball and be able to catch. And I know it's much more complicated than that. I was just kind of trolling Mike on that one. But center field adds an additional layer of difficulty with the kind of foot speed and anticipation you need and the ability to track balls and all that. And I think managers at every level of baseball are looking for that dude. So yeah, if you have big league talent and you haven't played
players.
There. Yeah.
Rare.
That's the weird part about I was reading a Chris Woodward quote where he was like, well, you know, any of these guys who have played infield, you go out to center field and now everything's in front of you. He's like, he can do that. And I was just like, wow, that's making center field sound easy.
Wow.
And I don't think it's that easy.
No.
But, I mean, they've sacrificed defense for offense before. We watched Mike Napoli play some left field. So if your main goal is to make sure that Solak's bat is in the lineup and you figure that the trade-off is worth it, then okay. But I don't think I'm going to be super optimistic that you're about to have a good center fielder or maybe even a capable center fielder. But I do want his bat in the lineup, so if that's the trade-off you're going to make, so be it.
Is middle defense not a big thing? Am I missing something here?
It's big. Yeah, it's big. I think they don't have one.
Yeah.
They don't have a guy. And like they want – maybe they want to keep that path clear for Leody Taveras or – I don't know, but they don't have a guy. Danny Santana's not a center fielder. Nick Solak's not a center fielder. Delino could sort of be a center fielder, but you wanted more bat.
Those guys were all infielders at one time in their career.
Yeah.
And then you know, okay, let's go play him at center field. But
if you're going to hit .293 with decent power and production, then we can definitely make some room for that. I mean, this is a franchise right now that's a ways off from being complete. And at this point, you have to make some sacrifices to get your best players on the field. So
even with Mazzara being moved, they still just have too many corner outfielders / DH guys. That's what they got. And really the logjam for Solak is that the organization has money sunken into Rougned Odor. That's the real issue.
Yeah.
Is can we just put a guy who's highly compensated on the bench, or is he going to throw a fit, or what are we going to do about it? Where I think a lot of teams would just be like, okay, we're going to play the better player.
Couldn't you make that move? Why couldn't you make that move?
I think they should. But I think that they won't because they're going to just keep going the route of we paid him. Let's see if he can start off on a hot streak. But it won't.
It's
I don't think this year.
It's not stopping you from winning a World Series right now.
No.
You're like, hey, it's not going to hurt any. It's really not going to hurt anything if he goes out there and plays horribly again.
But he's not even younger.
Yeah.
Like, you're no longer, like, Rugi's no longer the young player. Where it's like, well, we're just going to develop, and you have a guy now that I believe Solak is a year younger. I'll double check that, but like, you're not stopping progress with Rougie. He's 26 years old.
Yeah,
he is what he is.
Yeah,
they have to realize that at some point. I just don't think they refuse to see it right now.
Well, now we're at a point now where he only has 3 seasons left on his contract, so it would be get less and less costly if you wanted to make a decision on him as we move forward.
But that is so small market thinking. Like, what is his contract right now? Like $10 or $12 million a year, something like that?
What, to admit a mistake?
9, 12, 12.
He makes $8.25 a year in annual average. But, okay, so those are the numbers owed in these years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The salary cap before the luxury tax is almost $200 million, and you're...
I'm with you. I would have cut his ass.
I can't set $10 million on the bench.
I'm with you. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate a little bit. Is it because when he gets hot, it's so good that they're like, man, if we could ever just get him to be hot for 3 months instead of 6 weeks, then we'd really have something? And it's not costing us anything to develop him long-term to continue to work with him. Now we're starting to get towards the end of a contract that made him a very, very rich man. He has to start thinking about his next deal. And now that we're all halfway through the contract, the problem with Rougie is the focus and determination to go get better. He was just having a fun time trying to hit home runs, looking at the half decade of contract left. Now that he's later into his 20s, there's 3 years left on his deal. He's thinking, am I going to get paid at 28 as well, or is my career going to be over? And now that he seriously has to address those concerns in between his ears, he can attack an offseason actually paying attention to his career and not just having fun trying to hit home runs and counting money.
Is this very similar to like Profar and keeping him around in the front office? And I'm not talking about the type of play. I'm just saying the front office hanging on.
Yeah.
At some point in time, you just got to say, okay, it's not going to work. We made a mistake. Move on. I agree with you totally on that one, General.
Okay, and then we did want to salute Kim Mulkey down there at Baylor. Reached 600 wins in fewer games than any other Division I men or women's coach in the Bears' victory over Tech last night in Lubbock. She's 57 years old. Gathered her Bears players for a quick chat before center Queen Egbo grabbed the coach around the waist and hoisted her into the air. Fitting indeed for an accomplishment like that.
Well done, Kim.
All right, coming up next, how the Saints kept on winning while paying Drew Brees huge money. What can we learn from that? It's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's talk about how the Saints paid Drew Brees and remained excellent. That is the challenge for all teams in the situation the Cowboys are currently in. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Franklin Frankel, 214-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com as well. It's brought to you by Work Suites. Great place to go to work.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet there. Mm. How the Saints paid Drew Brees. Okay, Albert Breer, SI.com here. You know, the first time they paid him, what was that, 2014, after the 2014 season, they went through three straight 7-11 years. But
I'd go 7-9.
7-9, yes.
That's what I'd go with.
they weren't looking to pick up a six-pack and one of those pizza roll thingies they got.
What's the Frosty? What do they have? The
Slurpee.
The Slurpee.
No, but over the last 3 years since they paid Drew Brees this time, they've gone 37-11. So what the heck's going on with the Saints, and how do we copy that, Jeff? What do you
Man,
say?
Man, that's a great question, Gavin. And the answer is we're going to do our best to get you ready for the NFL draft, because the NFL draft is the hero of every draft franchise of all time. And it's weird that you don't really find teams that can consistently beat other people at drafting. Like, you all have really? Guys that are like Ozzie Newsome was his teams did really good drafting for the most part. But there's not a bunch of teams that jump out at you, but
you can get hot for a while.
Yeah, and they're on a heater right now. The Saints are. The article from Albert Breer, I believe it was, says you can boil it all down to Von Bell and David Onyemata. Okay, what are you talking about? So over the last 4 years, the Saints in the NFL draft in the first round, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, right tackle Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Davenport, the defensive end.
He turned out to be good.
And all these guys have turned out to be really good. And non-first rounders have included Michael Thomas, who just broke the record for catches in a season.
Well done.
Alvin Kamara, their free safety Marcus Williams, offensive lineman Eric McCoy. And then they're finding role players like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Tre'Quan Smith, Trey Hendrickson, Anzalone.
The names just keep on coming.
Right. And so you go 37-11 and win a couple of playoff games, and they should have been to a Super Bowl 2 years ago if they didn't get cheated.
You're averaging about three players a draft that are having a major impact on your team.
Yeah. They just they keep finding three guys a year, and some of them are superstars. Yeah. Thomas and Ramczyk, if you count offensive linemen as superstars, and Kamara. They're finding these guys not just in the first round. They're finding them up and down the draft board. And now they're talking about how the 2016 third and fourth rounders that the Saints have had are probably going to have to move on and go somewhere else because they don't really have the money to bring them back. And so they're just going to reload with more picks. And if you keep nailing it, well, guess what? You get to keep winning football games. So the way Drew Brees is playing is a big part of it.
Yeah.
But this is what the Cowboys, I think, desperately need, because they got so many of their own guys paid, so many other guys due to be paid, that they have got to find a cheap labor force that can be really, really good players. And the last two or three years, your track record of that isn't so hot. And that's what you got to do.
Yeah, they've done a good job, too. When you talk about being aggressive you know, most of the time when you say, okay, we're going to just keep drafting and try and fill our roster out with players that they're picked. You know, when they made the Davenport trade, they had to give up some draft capital. And then last year in the draft, they only had five selections. But then you hit, like you said, you hit Eric McCoy. He ends up being your starting center. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you know, these guys are all making plays for you. You know, that's the thing. Hampton, I mean, they've got some guys that that they drafted that have actually come in and done some good things. Even when you give up draft capital and you have less picks, but you're still hitting on picks, that's pretty impressive. Continuity will do that for you as well.
How many bad years will it slow that all the way down? Do you get one? Can you have two? Can you afford two?
Well, the people, if you follow this football team here in Dallas, the people are starting to say, well, what about this last draft? What, you know, the 2019 draft? What about the 18 draft? You know, everybody gives you praises and stuff for what happened in 16 and things like that. But all of a sudden, if you don't hit one or two drafts and you lose that depth of those players in the draft, that could set you back several years on that, especially if you draft a quarterback high and then all of a sudden he doesn't work out. Now you're setting your organization way back.
Especially if you traded up to get him.
Exactly.
I mean, that is a massive death blow for whoever makes that kind of mistake. You
good, Jeff? I'm trying to see here because I want to see. I have a terrible memory. So year by year, I struggle to just pull up, this year, that record. But the Cowboys botched the 2009 draft terribly. And that hurts.
At 12 picks in that draft, didn't they?
Yeah. But they didn't need a first or a second rounder because
they kept trading back.
Yeah, their team was too good, Brian, if I remember right. Their team was too good, and they were like, well, nobody can start on this team, so we need special teamers. So I think one draft can set you back. It probably helps you, like those Cowboys, if the year after that you get Sean Lee and Dez Bryant in the same draft.
That kicked in a rebuild, but they were transitioning out the great offensive line at that point. You know, they were officially on a rebuild, so Dez and Lee kind of buoyed it for a little bit, but they were losing a lot on the back end with guys like Flozell Adams and stuff.
I think their last draft, that can hurt you long term. If you get to a point where an entire class, that there's nobody that makes you a big impact for a small cap number, because right now, I mean, we're 1 year in, so don't write anybody off totally yet. But Tony Pollard's the only one that looks capable of that, and he's stuck behind somebody. So if you don't creatively use him, you could very well have an entire draft class who gives you very little.
I think it goes to why this draft has become so important, is fans are becoming more and more aware of how this sets you up for multiple deep playoff runs if you get it right. This is the most important thing for team building, how good your team is at identifying the good players.
No, absolutely. They had to trade. If you look at, they had to make a trade instead of Dorrance Armstrong filling in at that right defensive end, they had to make a trade to go out and get Robert Quinn.
Hmm.
So all of a sudden now you're trying to make a draft pick. You know, you're using a fourth round pick on Dorrance Armstrong, and he's not, you know, he's a role player, but you're having to make a trade to go get a starter instead of Dorrance Armstrong being your starter.
After butchering the 09 draft, you go 6-10, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8.
Yeah.
4 years and you never had a winning record. But then the drafts after that catch up and you start hitting your 12-4 and your 13-3 because you found those star players that could make this thing go. And you can overcome one if you're really, really good in the years around it. But I think that this should be worrisome because now I'm going back 3 years. Name me the star player they drafted.
3 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, Gallup is the best thing.
Gallup's a good player.
Yeah, but three years ago, it was Taco, Cheeto, Jordan, and Xavier Woods. Like, you got guys who can start for you and can play, but which one of those is Pro Bowler Ryan Ramczyk, and which one of those is Alvin Kamara, and which one of those is, like, that's the difference.
Are you talking about the 18 draft?
I'm talking about all three of the last 3 years, where Vander Esch kind of flashed at you.
Well, okay, Vander Esch was in the Gallup draft.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, for over the last 3 years, where the Saints can point to, we got him, and him, and they're awesome. The Cowboys can point to it and go, we got Gallup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need, three difference-making type of players in this draft, I think, to get the window back open. They're losing way too much. I think they could be a playoff team, but not a very dangerous playoff team this year.
They had to draft Connor McGovern because their left guard situation is kind of with Connor Williams.
Yeah.
So now you had to use a third round pick for that.
All right, it is time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that my friends, is your G-Bag of the Day. We go into the Pimp Cup. Good afternoon to Lucius Alexander.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Good. G-Bag of the Day yesterday, you said it was Jeffrey. I feel it was a whole collection of the situation, but I think you were doing your magic there.
All right.
You said it was for Jeffrey. So, Jeffrey, you are G-Bag of the Day of yesterday, and you're up again today.
Hey, thanks.
Good luck, man.
All right, here we go. This is the Daytona crash. It happened live on air.
Daytona 500 is coming up on one lap to go. They've had, what, three crashes in the final 20 laps?
Oh, this Texas kid's falling.
Oh, they're about to wreck him again. They'll wreck him before the end here.
Including two restarts inside the top three.
Yeah, this is official now.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
They're going to race to the line. Denny Hamlin is ahead of Ryan Newman right now. And so they're racing to the line here. Let's see if they throw the yellow. They're not going to throw the yellow. So
this is it.
Come down. This is it.
Give us another wreck.
Yeah, well, oh, here it comes.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, wow. Blaney's
you guys back behind.
Blaney's pushing Newman past Hamlin.
No way.
Go. Oh, he's going to take it front. Home.
Oh, there's Buescher up high. He's up high.
Oh,
this is going to be a good finish.
The Blaney, they're both Ford. That's what happened. Blaney pushed Newman by Hamlin because he wanted the Ford connection to win, and now they're both out front.
Now
they're trying to reach each other.
Is that guy okay?
Hamlin's going ahead.
A fireball over the checkered line.
That is not good. That is not good at all.
Let's get Newman out of the car.
Yep.
He's upside down, sliding. Ryan Newman, friend of the show, is now on fire. That fire suit is being tested at Daytona right now.
The Ford pushed the Ford by, and both Fords were ahead, but they both ended up losing because they fought each other at the end, and the dude was like, thanks for fighting, I'll take that back.
Yeah, Ryan Newman is on the driver's side.
Is that driver's side on fire?
Yeah, driver's side, yeah.
Okay.
They got all kinds of gas.
Oh, there's fuel hitting the road.
They need to get him out quick.
Yeah, they did not get him out quick.
No, they didn't.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's fine. There's social media pictures. He's hanging out right now.
I love how he went from,
bro. Oh, y'all did some amazing moonwalking right there.
Is he dead?
Jackson would be proud of that one. Okay, it's not.
Play by play is tough, man.
It is.
I feel like
you got a future, though, as that football analyst that while the winning play is going on, he's hooting and hollering in the background.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I could see you do that.
Could you tell how proud I was that I had noticed the two Fords working together?
Yes, that was good work.
I had to mention it twice.
Yeah, well, you know.
While the guy was dying.
You have a long history of going to the track and putting in mad work learning that sport, I feel.
Yeah, they got the
at least
logos
three or
right
four
there.
Times.
They had the logos right there.
No, we go out to TMS there and they give us the headsets. We listen to the pit teams. You learn all kinds of stuff in there. It's a tremendous experience.
Especially
when nobody dies.
Yeah, nobody dying is great.
Okay, so there he is, our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion, Jeff Kavanaugh, the G-Bag Nation.
It's not me.
Calling the near death of Ryan Newman. And Jeff called for the other wreck. He was like, give us another wreck before the end.
I did not call for...
It would have been your fault, man.
180 miles an hour into the driver door. No. I just wanted a wreck.
You wanted a wreck.
I just wanted a wreck.
Okay, very picky there in a sport that goes 200.
Hey, those cars are made really well.
You got your wreck and some more.
I had a lot of confidence in the cars, and now Ryan Newman and his kids are walking out of the hospital having a great day.
All right, let's get a couple of challengers here in the G-Bag of the Day. Jeff, our one-time champ. Lucius, who's coming after
him? Yeah, we have a gentleman that's walking around the supermarket sniffing and touching the bread rolls.
Ooh.
You know, you're supposed to reach in there with a little plastic, wax paper or whatever, and grab that?
Yeah.
Nah, he's just doing it just like freehand, freestyling. So there's a gentleman who is of the people, goes and stops him and puts him on the internet.
Oh. Yo, bro. Yeah, you're supposed to use the wax paper when you touch the rolls. I'm roll patrol, dude. No, but seriously. You're supposed to use the wax paper, and you're sniffing them, and then you're touching them, and you're putting them back?
Oh, no.
They smell like look, just do me a favor. Just pick up the ones you touched and buy them because I don't know where your eater's been. You know what I mean? Listen, cuz pick them the up
okay.
And put them in your bag or I'm going to even you up.
Oh.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to even you the
up.
All right. I'm not kidding. Pick them up. Disgusting.
Oh, we got him.
Yeah.
I'm roll patrol.
Yeah.
Roll patrol.
Yeah, those muffins are probably not cheap either, right? A couple bucks each. I gotta admit something to you. When I know I'm going for that donut, I won't always get the paper. You know what I'm saying? Because I figure I'm only going to touch this donut.
Well, if it's just you and the one you're putting, you're grabbing it and you're putting it in your basket or whatever, that's fine. He was putting them back in the little thing.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I just think the one I want, I want another one.
I was really glad that he was putting them back, because if he wasn't, I would have been guilty of the same thing.
You ever find the sticky donut? The sticky donut, you kind of can't pull it away from the other one. You're kind of going with your hand on that.
I don't think I've ever had that issue. I don't know if that goes in the selection process of which donut I'm going for, but
are veggies the same? Because I'll grab veggies. I'll check them, put them back.
I think that's different because you can wash those.
Okay.
You can go home and like clean off a cucumber, rinse it, and stuff like that.
Okay, because I also don't wash them. So that's probably.
You probably should.
Yeah.
You probably should. You know, I think they'd maybe recommend that, but hey, they're healthy vegetables. What's the worst it could do, you know? Okay, and one more challenger, Lucius.
Yeah, Wendy Williams. I was going to play this one yesterday. She made a terrible, terrible, terrible joke about Drew Carey's ex-fiance who seemed to be murdered over the weekend.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, she made a joke about this. I'll let her set it up. Check it out.
Drew Carey's ex-fiance was tragically murdered over the weekend. Look, it was like 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. Uh-huh, and there was screaming in the neighborhood in LA. She lived with a roommate, a girl roommate, and the roommate heard the screaming. The neighbors all around the neighborhood heard the screaming, and they called 911. Once the cops got there, she was down there dead on the ground. Yep, was pushed off of a third floor balcony. I'll give you a little backstory. So she was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down. Why are you putting allegedly the story down?
It was a Bob Barker joke.
Come on. Well, you know, he hosts that now.
Bob Barker used to do the come on down. So was she saying it wasn't Drew Carey that did it, but it was Bob Barker, and there's a Price is Right joke? That's how I took it.
It is a Price is Right.
It's a Price is Right because he's the host of Price is Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. A little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
And she was setting up telling the really somber story and then put in a joke and was like, hey, what do you think of my joke? Wow, that's kind of awkward.
The cause of death was a fall. So you can come on down.
Yeah.
That didn't go. Mm-mm.
Not the best joke there for Wendy Williams.
Should have gave it another week.
So she's off on an apology tour here.
She better be.
Yeah.
This is like the second week in a row she went super hard.
Really? She's trying to be more of a shock jock?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, she's always
strategy.
Been a shock jock. Always.
Has she?
Yeah, since day one. You got to read her book. It's pretty good.
Okay.
She fell asleep on air doing coke.
Wow.
I didn't know you can do that at the same time. I didn't know you could fall asleep. Yeah.
Must have been like a Coke and Xanax or something like that. Here we go. Is it Jeffrey, our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion? Is it a man stops rude shopper? He was going to straighten him up. Or is it Wendy Williams with a bad joke? It is the G-Bag of the Day. And I've started voting first here recently. I'm going to go with the man stopping the rude shopper. That's pretty outstanding. You know, when somebody's willing to look out for us like that. What do you say, Lucius?
Bread rolls inside the supermarket guy.
Ooh. I'm going to still go with Jeff and NASCAR. That was a great call to the end of a race.
That was a good call, Jeff.
I'm going to go with you guys' call of the Daytona 500.
It's tied at 2. That means it's time to jump onto the @GBagNation Twitter account. Go to @GBagNation on Twitter and vote. Is it the GBagNation's call of the final moments of the Daytona 500? Or is it the man stopping that rude shopper who is handling all the merchandise? Get onto @GBagNation and vote. We'll come back and announce the winner. And Brian Broaddus has a segment for us. Where are we going with that?
We're
going to
talk about a little coronavirus next.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. And it's time now for some content procured and manicured by Brian Broaddus. Here he is.
Well, thank you very much, General. Guys, if national news, world news, we're all thinking about what's going on in China right now, right?
Big China guy.
You thinking about what's going on with that the coronavirus at all? You thinking about it?
I look for it because I'm always looking for headlines that I can make entertaining.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I feel like somehow the coronavirus can be entertaining, but I haven't figured out the angle
yet. It's not, but it is on the minds of NHL equipment men. Hockey.
Is that right?
Coronavirus has affected the NHL, and it comes to hockey sticks. Hockey sticks are all 75% of the players in the NHL. Hockey sticks come from China.
Is there anything we don't outsource?
Well, there's a couple other.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Avocados. No.
Exactly. But on the Dallas Stars, 18 players use sticks that are manufactured with CCM or Bauer and six use a brand of Warrior sticks that were built in Mexico.
Okay. So we got to all go with Warrior now.
So no, but this is the story though. Steve Sumner, who's the equipment man for the Stars, he's saw in the future, and he's already ordered ahead his sticks. Now they haven't been able since the outbreak of the virus.
Oh, as soon as it hit, he was like, "I'm going to need to get my sticks."
He was on it.
He's got the market corner.
He's got the
he?
Market corner.
$10,000 a stick, boys.
Exactly.
Who wants one?
Exactly. But there's things about sticks. How often do you think that they use a stick? If you're playing in a hockey game, how often do you think they go through a stick?
I'll say you break a stick every third game.
I'll go 10. I'll go 8 sticks a year.
Nah. They use a stick. Some guys use a stick every game.
Oh, see, I want my stick. And I know they custom make them and the blade's right, but I want the one that I've broken it in. I don't want the new stick.
In a typical season, in a typical NHL season, they'll go between 3,000 and 4,000 sticks.
That's why kids can't afford to play hockey, Brian. Right here breaking that many sticks. They're not cheap.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that they Sumner was talking about that he, in the past, he's one of these guys that, like, he doesn't throw anything away. He's hoarding sticks. So, like, from year to year. So he was thinking, like, if I have to break out some old models, you know, nice. I might have to go in there and say, well, wait a minute, I'm running low on some sticks, so I might have to go to next year's model. But it's like, I was starting to think, though, if they use a stick every day, like Major League Baseball, I mean, bats. The guys use the same bats.
Oh, yeah, for
a
while.
Yeah, they'll keep it.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't break or crack. It'll lose its power. I have a hard time imagining that the aluminum hockey stick is losing its power or getting cracked or has its integrity compromised in any way. That's interesting to me. Like,
well,
why are they
wood? They use wood.
Oh, are they using wood sticks?
They use wood. I used aluminum as an aluminum stick as a younger person, but
I was talking hockey sticks.
Yeah.
What are those hockey sticks made of?
They're made of wood, right?
Yeah, wood.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
What's he going to do with all the old sticks? It's wood. It's not like you can melt down wood and rebuild the stick.
He keeps the sticks in the back just in case, like, they had the coronavirus shows up.
So he's the one guy on Earth that was planning for the coronavirus without knowing what it was going to be called. He was just like, something could go down.
He saw in the crystal ball that there potentially could be a problem here, but it's an NHL-wide problem.
I'm not afraid of the coronavirus.
You're not?
I want to get that on the record. I'm not afraid of the coronavirus.
Okay.
I think it's just like the flu or whatever. I think it's mostly just going to take old people and super young people.
I think you should be scared. I don't know much about it, but I know it's affecting the NHL right now.
You know, I was more worried about the swine flu and the bird flu, but I don't want to make too many jokes about coronavirus because I think over 1,000 people have died. But it seems like the mortality is pretty low. Like, it's one in about 40 of who get it that are dying. So, if it wasn't for the CDC stepping in here and being like, guys, we need to quarantine and shut this down, this would be a massive global event.
But you're already seeing, like, sporting events. I mean, we're talking about the NHL here, but we're already seeing, like, they didn't send their team for the Davis Cup. That's part of tennis.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're having,
absolutely.
And in Tokyo, they're running the
soccer teams.
Yeah, Tokyo. I'm one of these guys that's run marathons in my life. Running the Tokyo Marathon would be cool, but they're only allowing elite runners to be a part of that.
Oh, to keep the crowd down.
Yeah, to keep the crowd down and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just, you know, to me, I was like, it's amazing that you can have something like this. And you don't think about, well, how would it affect me? But then you look at other sports, you know, like the NHL teams. And you're talking about, well, where are we going to get our sticks? Imagine you can't play hockey without sticks.
So, no, that would be a really interesting
sport. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It'd be great if they ran out. You just had a team that was out there, like, only a third of the guys have sticks, and it's just like, well, that's what we got, guys.
Definitely raise the difficulty level if you had to make your own.
See if we can get to overtime.
Bring your own stick.
We're trying to get 1 point here.
Boy, Dix is sitting in the catbird seat right now with their stick situation.
Well, they're talking about Tyler Seguin. He went to his mom's house.
Really?
In the basement. He had some leftover sticks.
This is great.
And he went to his mom's house. Say, Mom, you got those old twigs laying around? I think they're down in the basement. And
did you sell them at a garage sale?
No, she didn't sell them. So he went rummaging around down the basement, probably had to move some equipment around. Oh, there they are.
So do these things break? Why don't they just use the one they have now until
that's what I'm saying, though. It depends on what position you play. So they're saying, though, you know, they're
saying, are you hitting people so hard that that sticks?
I think it has to do with, like, what you're talking about, taking draws. If you're, like, a big face-off guy.
Oh,
so you're watching tonight, you know, the, you know, Jamie Benn's digging. Yeah. Sagan's in there digging, you know, trying to dig that puck out of the face-off.
Yeah. So you can grind the blade down a little bit? Maybe the bottom of it?
These players, like, these sticks, you ever watch them tape them? I mean, it's like, seriously, like, it's like they have to be exactly right, the right amount of tape. You have to, you know, you don't let people touch your stick. You know, that's kind of thing. But, yeah, they say the players go through about 100 and 120 sticks a year.
I would have totally guessed much lower, and maybe even that some guys had a favorite stick and just rolled with it the whole time.
I kind of thought if you were on a really good streak, like Sagan's, you know, he's starting to score goals.
Yeah.
He's taken 9 shots. He's got 3 goals. Maybe he's like, hey, I'm going to ride old Betsy here. You know,
exactly.
That Betsy stick is going to, you know, and then, no, Betsy stick got broke 2 nights ago and – In Montreal.
How many people do you think name their hockey stick?
I bet you they name their hockey sticks.
Yeah.
Give me a Betty. I need another Betty. You know? Why not?
He's so great.
Why not?
Not an individual name for every hockey stick, but every hockey stick you get is named Betsy or something. I could see that.
Yeah. Well, Lucille was good to me. Mm. You know, had on our run there. But yeah, this
for the full period that I used it.
I thought that hockey sticks, I did. I thought they used the same hockey stick the whole time. Like, they just... At the end of the night, okay, they give it to the equipment guy, they pack it up, and then it's on to the next city.
It's the worst that could happen. Slap shot, it's a rubber puck, you know?
Yeah.
Be my
thought. That puck is, man, hockey's a lot harder than you'd think.
Yeah.
Skating's hard. That puck's heavy. I couldn't make that puck come off the ice with a stick, I don't think.
I think we need to go have a hockey night where we actually try and fire pucks. And skate.
On skates. Yes. Because that's the difficulty, right?
Yes.
It's trying to get firm ground.
Yeah. Have a hockey night where we go out there and actually try and play.
Mm. I'm in.
I'll play goalie.
Give me some of those hip pads, though. You know, I need a good amount of pads so when I do fall down, I can just pop back up.
See, General, you guys got the good look with the beard already. You guys are playoff ready.
Playoff beard.
Yeah, playoff beard. We've got a big game tonight, Hope. Arizona in town.
Sweet. Look forward to talking about that a little bit later on and tuning it on TV tonight as Sports and DFW is finally back.
There you go.
A couple of nights.
There you go.
I want to play goalie against you guys because I don't feel like any of you could hit the puck hard.
Oh, I've been ice skating on vacation. I'll bring
but you still have to hit the puck.
I'll bring the fury.
Okay. All right.
I used to practice it with my golf club in the...
What club did you use?
Nothing.
Putter?
Drop it. Yeah. 3 o'clock, the NFL Draft Big Board Report. An NFL coach gives thoughts on some of the biggest names going into the draft. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.